This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a three-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here. We have a very fun show planned for you guys coming up in just a bit. We're going to be joined by Sean Marash. He works at WFAN. It is the most popular sports talk station in the country. It is in New York. We're going to talk to him about the Yankees. We're also going to be joined by Josh Vernier. Patrick Mahomes is going to be on the show. So I got a chance to catch up with Patrick a couple of days ago, but you know, the Royals, they were taking up our time slot, so we didn't have the opportunity to play it for you. Well, you know what? There is no time like the present. So Patrick Mahomes will be on the show coming up later today. Nate Taylor will be on the show. I will be here. Rob will be here. Hopefully you will be here as well. We have so much to get into. We are going to start today with the Kansas City Royals. I might even sprinkle in a little bit of Kansas City Chiefs in the open. I can't promise you anything, but I just got a feeling that the Chiefs are going to make the open of the show. All right, we'll get to the Royals coming up in just a bit, but before we do any of that, take it away, Rob.
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. 913-586-7965. Caller number six wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tassio. Pizza Tassio lovingly uses 100% whole milk mozzarella with all organic tomato sauce, locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by Casey guys who both know and love pizza. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wine. So, Carrington, whether you're hungry and maybe having some sort of postseason watch party, need a whole pie, or just a slice or two, be sure to visit them now at pizzatassio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best pizza in Kansas City and you are excited about the Royals being in the postseason, the best place to do that is with us right here on 96.5 The Fan. This is where I would like to start today's show. That I understand at times there has been a love-hate relationship for the owner of the Kansas City Royals. It has been that way basically my entire life. I remember the love-hate relationship with David Glass, and I remember the interview where he said that the All-Star game showed him the passion that Kansas Cityans had for baseball, and it really started to allow him to refocus his resources into trying to put out the best baseball team popular. Maybe that is just professional baseball, that you're always going to want the owner to do more, spend a little bit more money, have his hands a little bit more in the mix. Well, as I was riding into work today, I was thinking about John Sherman's two, I would consider them first press conference. Now, we'll talk about the actual first press conference when he was at Surprise Arizona and talked about the downtown stadium. We'll talk about that at some point over the course of the show as well. But the one that really stands out in my mind to me was the one in which he fired Dayton Moore. And it was a very symbolic press conference. Dayton is standing there and the owner is right behind him. And these comments have really echoed in my mind over the course of the last couple of days. Now, I want to play this for you, and I want you to really think about this. All of us have great respect for Dayton Moore and what he was able to accomplish. At one point, he is going to go into the Royals Hall of Fame and maybe should be considered for the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame for his accomplishments here in Kansas City. But I really want you to ask yourself, would the Royals be in the postseason if Dayton Moore was still the manager, the general manager of this team? Would the Royals have had the turnaround that they had? Would the Royals have been in a position to make a wild card run and have a chance against the New York Yankees in the divisional series if John Sherman didn't make a tough decision? There were a lot of people that wanted Dayton Moore to continue being the general manager because of what this team accomplished in 2014 and 15. And you can certainly make the case that when you have the success that he had in Kansas City, you can determine when you are no longer the general manager of the team. But part of being the leader means that somebody has to make a difficult decision. And that is exactly what John Sherman did. He had to look Dayton Moore in his face and say, I can't let you work here anymore. And it was deeper than that to me. This comment right here is the one that is going to resonate with Royals fans, and it should, as this was the first big statement that John Sherman made as the owner of the Kansas City Royals.
Dayton always tends to talk in terms of what a championship team looks like. And I've, that's a great conversation, but I'd like to know what a wild card team looks like first. And I think that because if anybody knows, Kansas City Royals fans know, if you can get a wild card slot and you can get in the dance, anything can happen.
Isn't that what's happened with the Kansas City Royals? I'm not sure if they're a championship team, but they're a wild card team. They're a team that's capable of going on the road and winning the wild card series. They're a team that's capable of hosting a playoff game in Kansas City next Wednesday. We'll see if they host a playoff game on next Wednesday and next Thursday. But it takes steps to get there. The 2013 Royals took a step. The 2014 Royals took an even bigger step. The 2015 Royals took the hardest step that there is. And at some point, this organization had to start to have some upward mobility and forward motion. And it felt with Dayton Moore at the helm that this organization was running in place in a lot of different ways, and they needed a new voice, new energy, new leadership, and the leadership has worked. Think about the moves that J.J. Piccolo has made over the course of the last calendar year. You make the trade for Cole Reagans. You go get Seth Lugo in free agency. You go pick up Michael Wacha in free agency. You make certain other moves. This was a team that's bullpen was really struggling in the middle part of the season. You retool their bullpen on the fly the way that you have. John Sherman, J.J. Piccolo, and their staff and the team that they have put together, they deserve a lot of credit for, A, in John Sherman not only making the difficult decision and getting rid of a legend in Kansas City when it was not a universal opinion to do that. It was very much split. There was a faction of people that had grown tired of Dayton Moore and wanted to see results, but if you had the success that he had and was the man in this community the way that he was and carried himself, you were also going to have a lot of supporters and people believed in you and wanted to give you more time to figure it out. But professional sports is not really about having more time. It is a what have you done for me lately business. And we were starting to get further and further away from 14 and 15, and you got to start to create some new memories. You got to have some new hit singles at some point. And he was really starting to struggle with that, where J.J. Piccolo has come in. He's done things a little bit different, had a different attitude, had a different demeanor. And now this team had a winning record for the first time since 2016. And this team is going to be hosting a home playoff game here in a couple of days coming up at Kauffman Stadium. Now, let's talk about the Chiefs for just a little bit, and we're going to be joined by Sean Marash, who works at WFAN in New York, coming up in a bit, and we'll get his thoughts on the Yankees ahead of this series. Mecole Hardman is hurt for this team. Today, at practice, the Chiefs had four healthy wide receivers. Now, I'm not going to bang this drum too hard just yet. We've got time. We have still over a month until we get to the trade deadline. We're in the middle of the baseball playoffs. So this is not going to be, you know, my focus over the next couple of days or so. The Chiefs need more at wide receiver. They just need more. You need more weapons than what you currently have. Now, I don't know if this counts as being negative or not. I don't know sometimes what the line is with you guys, but I just got to tell you how I feel. Ahead of this game, it has the energy to me of their loss to the Colts back in 2019. Not the one on the road, not the one where Chris Jones might have said the curse word and they got penalized for it. Not that one. Do you guys remember in October of 2019, the Chiefs, they were super banged up going to that game at home against the Indianapolis Colts, and they just couldn't get anything going. Rob, that day, the Chiefs ran the ball 14 times for 36 yards. Their leading receiver that day was Byron Pringle, Mecole Hardman. Travis Kelce had 4 catches for 70 yards. DeMarcus Robinson, that was their wide receiver room. They scored 13 points. Now, I think this defense is in a better position than their defense was in 2019. I think this team is more talented than the team in 2019, at least with the pieces that they have on defense. It's just really hard to win at a high level in the NFL when your roster and depth has been challenged as much as Kansas City's has been challenged over the course of the last couple of weeks. We're talking about a team that doesn't have its starting left tackle from the beginning of the season, doesn't have its number one running back, doesn't have its number one or number two wide receiver, and another wide receiver that you were expecting to chip in and be a valuable producer for you, he's currently hurt right now. Your healthy wide receivers as of right now are Xavier Worthy, Justin Watson, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Sky Moore. Those were the wide receivers that you had practiced today. Now, it is week 5 of the NFL season. I'm not telling anybody to panic. I'm not telling you to rip up your Chiefs Super Bowl ticket. There is a lot to still accomplish, and we have a lot of football to go. At some point, the Chiefs are going to have to make a move. You guys remember how mad Patrick was last year at that wide receiver room? Their wide receiver room today is worse than that. You remember, Pat looked like he was ready to rip somebody's head off. He looked like George Brett during the Pine Tar game over there on the sideline. That's where they are right now at wide receiver. You just need more. You need more firepower. You need more weapons. So we will pick this conversation up whenever baseball season is over. That could be next week. That could be in 3 weeks. I don't know. But at some point, table this conversation and we will pick this back up. The Chiefs are going to have to make one, maybe two moves. Maybe they don't take a big swing. Maybe you bring back DeMarcus Robinson. Maybe you make a couple other moves. There are certainly moves to be made. But right now, for a team that we thought maybe had 7 or 8 healthy wide receivers, they are down to 4 heading into the second quarter of the season. They're just going to need some more bodies than what they currently have. Coming up on the other side, let's talk some baseball. We're going to head to New York and be joined by Sean Marash, who covers the Yankees. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. We are happy to take another trip to New York City to be joined by Sean Marash, who is a host on Evan and Tiki. Sean, happy to have you on the show today. I have to ask you this question. So every week we do a hypothetical scenario. We call it the hypothetical button game. Right now, if you ask the average New York sports fan, you can press a button for the Yankees to win the World Series, the Knicks to win the NBA Finals, or the Jets to win the Super Bowl. What do you think the answer in New York is?
Okay. So is it what they want or what they think will happen?
Either one.
I believe what they think will happen is the Yankees are going to win the World Series. What they want to happen is the freaking Knicks to finally win a championship here with Jalen Brunson.
Right now, who's a bigger star? I understand that Rodgers is probably the biggest star internationally and maybe in the United States. He also just got there, and it feels like
Aaron Judge is by far the number one star in New York, with Jalen Brunson number two for sure. But it's still Aaron Judge. We got to see Jalen Brunson get past the second round first before we're totally crowning him. But he is beloved. But right now, it's still Aaron Judge in this town.
I figured Judge was one just because he's the best player on the Yankees, and you kind of get that mantle from A-Rod and you get that from Jeter. I was curious between Rodgers and Brunson. So you're telling me that right now Brunson is ahead of Aaron Rodgers?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got to remember, for us in a two-team town, the Jets are also the little brother to the Giants in town, so Rodgers is a big cult following, but you know, you have way more people rallying around the New York Knicks and New York Yankees in this town than the New York Jets. So it's definitely Judge, then Brunson, then a pretty long line before you finally get to the Aaron Rodgers of the world.
Yeah, I was then going to ask, where's Daniel Jones fit on this roster? I'm guessing.
No, this is Malik Nabers town now, Karen.
Gotta guess like Brian Cashman or like Leon Rose is ahead of Daniel Jones.
By the way, both accurate. Absolutely. And we don't even love Cashman here, but yes, both accurate.
So, Sean, let's talk about this Royal Series between the Yankees and the Royals. I'm going to guess that big city, you're the Yankees, you got the home field advantage in this. I'm going to guess that not many Yankees fans are taking the Royals seriously in this matchup.
So it's pretty funny you say that, Carrington. Yes. I mean, the short answer is yes, and I know how disrespectful that sounds to Kansas City. I can tell you from a personal baseball fan, I'm a little nervous about the Royals. Bobby Witt Jr. scares me. Reagans and Seth Lugo scare me. But, yeah, I think the moment the Astros got eliminated, and even to a lesser extent the Orioles, who are a bit of a Yankee rival here, and they've gone back and forth, I think that it is viewed right now in this town as a major mega disappointment if the Yankees forget, you know, getting to the ALCS or not in the World Series, and that starts with beating the Royals. I think a lot of people look at this in this town as a pseudo-buy for the Yankees to an ALCS. I'm not telling you that's right. I understand how anybody in Kansas City will basically look at that as New York arrogance, and it is, but that is the belief around this town for sure.
Do Yankees fans have any concern about these numbers? Because Michael Wacha, who is going for the Royals in Game 1, he's pitched very well against the Yankees. Aaron Judge is 1-for-18 with 11 strikeouts against Michael Wacha. Gleyber Torres is 1-for-16. Alex Verdugo is 3-for-11. Giancarlo Stanton is hitting 4-for-17. That's 235 against Michael Wacha. Like, it would appear that the Royals have the pitching advantage maybe in every game in this series.
Well, look, if Michael Wacha is shutting down this Yankee lineup in a playoff game, in the same game that Gerrit Cole is pitching, yeah, there will be panic in the city. But I don't think anybody has viewed the Royals, specifically Michael Wacha, who we've seen in this town a little bit with the Mets. We've seen him obviously pitch around and pitch these teams. Nobody here is viewing Michael Wacha as a big threat, but you also have to realize we're very ignorant and haven't broken down the numbers. The Yankees in the postseasons of past, especially with this core, albeit it's a different kind of team with Juan Soto now, their lineup always seems to be their undoing in the playoffs against pitching and pitchers like Michael Wacha. So that doesn't necessarily come as a surprise, but I wouldn't say anybody's fearful of that. Now, does that mean in games 2 and 3? I think that's where every Yankee fan's looking and going, oh, man, that's going to be really tough on the Yankees. That's why I think everybody assumes they'll take care of Michael Wacha in game 1. But yeah, you will see panic in this town if Michael Wacha puts up those kind of numbers in game 1. And furthermore, if Alex Verdugo is in the lineup over their young phenom Jason Dominguez, basically everybody in New York might be ready to riot too.
There's been a couple of really low points for the Yankees this season. I remember there was a stretch this summer where, other than the White Sox, they were the worst team in baseball. What happened during that stretch with the Yankees that they took that turn? How did they get things back on track?
So there were a couple things. First of all, the Yankees just started off unconsciously, and they did so without Gerrit Cole, who was hurt at the beginning of the year. What happened in the middle of the year is they lost Anthony Rizzo, who now also, by the way, is a broken finger, is going to be out for this division series. But he was out, and at the same time, Giancarlo Stanton, who actually had a really, maybe his best year overall for the Yankees, even if the numbers don't match it, he went on the IL for for a good month stretch. And all in there, losing those two guys, the Yankees went through stretches where they were playing guys like J.D. Davis and Jamai Jones. You don't have to know who those guys are. They're not even on the Yankee roster anymore. They were hitting leadoff in games, cleanup in games. The Yankees went through a real, real depth issue in the middle of the year that seemingly solved itself in mid-August. Stanton came back eventually towards the end of the year in September. Rizzo came back. They called upon young guys like Jason Dominguez. Gleyber Torres woke up. And, oh, by the way, they made an enormous trade at the trade deadline to get Jazz Chisholm Jr., who has absolutely injected enthusiasm, athleticism, everything in this team that seemingly was lacking, Jazz Chisholm brought. This is a completely different Yankee team than the one that really slumped its way through July and parts of August and even parts of June.
Where's the place where you think the Yankees have the biggest advantage? Because for me, looking at this series, what worries me the most is if these games are going to be played 6-4, 7-5, I think that strongly favors the New York Yankees just because of the Royals' offense. If these are going to be low-scoring games that come down to the bull, have a puncher's chance in this series.
No doubt about it. I alluded to it a couple answers ago, but it's the lineup. The Yankees, top to bottom, are putting it out in an all-star caliber lineup. We love Bobby Witt Jr. and respect him here, but outside of that, you know, Salvi Perez is the pedigree. There's nobody in the Royal lineup any Yankee fan or the Yankees truly fear. The Yankees get going, you know, top to bottom, they're just relentless. It's not just Judge and Soto. I mentioned Stanton. Obviously, I mentioned Jazz Chisholm Jr., what he's brought. Their catcher, Austin Wells, has had a big year, Rookie of the Year candidate as well. They don't have a lot of easy outs outside of when Alex Verdugo plays and their young shortstop, Anthony Rizzo. But if the lineup is cooking with gas, I don't see how the Yankees really, really come away with these games scoring one run, two runs, even versus Lugo and Reagan's. Now, those games will be tough, but it's the lineup. If the lineup's cooking, they have a big advantage over Kansas City.
Right now, we're talking to Sean Marash just for a couple more minutes, getting his thoughts on the series between the Royals and the Yankees. Give me an X factor. You mentioned some of the bigger names with the Yankees, and you guys got a bunch of them. You mentioned Gerrit Cole, who's pitching in game one of this, Aaron Judge, Gleyber Torres. You guys have a lot of household baseball names. Who are those X factors? Who are those guys that if the Yankees make a run, they're going to have to be the difference in helping this team advance?
Well, I'll give you a couple different levels here. I just mentioned the catcher, Austin Wells, his first taste of Yankee postseason lore. They didn't start him at the beginning of the year. He was a bit in a tandem. He's been so important in the middle of the Yankee lineup, whether he's hitting fifth, sixth. There's been games he's been hitting cleanup, depending on where they want to slide Stanton. He could be a real, especially with those guys, the table setters, Soto, Judge, Stanton, those guys are in front of him. You know, big innings could be relying on a big hit, even sack flies from Austin Wells. We've seen it all year. So lineup-wise, that's an X factor. The other X factor comes down to Carlos Rodon, a starting pitcher the Yankees paid a lot of money to. When he is bad, he is really bad. But when he's great, he's great. There's no consistency there. His numbers at Yankee State have been really good. If the Yankees somehow get a really good start out of him in game two, this series could be a quick one. If he implodes, well, then it's the X factor the other way. Kansas City's going to have life and a win at Yankee Stadium. And I mentioned the bullpen a little while ago. I would be scared to death if Clay Holmes came in the game. I mentioned Weaver a little while ago. Here's an X factor. They had a guy hurt at the end of the last couple weeks of the regular season, could be ready. Jake Cousins, the cousin of Kirk Cousins, who we saw on Thursday Night Football, has been a really big out-getter for them in the sixth and seventh inning. He could bridge the gap towards some of the more reliable arms in the bullpen that do exist for the Yankees. And I think those three guys across the board are the unsung heroes of the Yankees that Kansas City fans may not know a lot about, but they'll get a taste of.
Sean, I'm not sure if you're a gambling guy or not, but if I set the
over-under. Come on, I'm a BetQL guy, Karen.
Okay,
I love it.
My bad. I'd had to make sure. I had to check here. Right now, if I had to give you an over-under on Royals win in this series at 1.5, you taking the over or the under?
I will take the under. I think the Yankees win this in 4, but, I mean, it's definitely going over if they somehow sneak out a game one win over Gerrit Cole, but I would still go the under.
That is our guy, Sean Marash, joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work with BetQL, does fantastic work on Evan and Tiki, one of the top voices in sports talk radio. Sean, man, great to have you, man. We got to do this more often, my man.
Carrington, if our football teams, God willing, ever get relevant, we'll do it plenty more talking to you. Chiefs and so on. So enjoy, man.
Well, Sean, every time Mahomes is supposed to go against Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers gets hurt or has COVID. Mahomes is always there. Your guy's the one that's not there.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm a Giant fan. Don't tell him it's my guy. But yes, I agree. He runs and hides. And if the way the season's going right now for the Jets, I wouldn't expect to see them in Kansas City for an AFC title game either. So we might have to wait another year, Carrington.
Sean, great stuff, man. I appreciate you.
Of course, bro.
That is Sean Marash of WFAN joining us on the show to give us the Yankees perspective of the series. As you would imagine, he is not too popular on the text line. I mean, this is one of those things where if you're the Royals, you kind of have to prove it to the really good teams in baseball. Just trying to look at it through the Yankees perspective. The Yankees consider themselves to be a great team, and they look at the Royals as being a great story. The Royals' story is incredible. They lost 100-something games last year, turned things around, make the postseason, beat the Orioles in the wild card round. Hey, it is a cute story. If you're the Yankees, I understand why you would kind of little bro the Royals in this series. Now, I would say that is a mistake, and with the way that the Royals pitch, I think they have a chance to take one of those first two games. And if you're talking about it is 1-1 and this series is coming back to Kansas City and the Royals have a chance to win the series in Kauffman Stadium, that place is going to be rocking on Wednesday and Thursday. So it's going to be a long series. I think the Royals have a chance to win this series. We gave you the numbers yesterday. They're going to need to be a little bit better offensively than they've been against the Yankees. But from a pitching standpoint and a bullpen standpoint, they absolutely have a chance to upset the New York Yankees and win this series. We'll continue to read your text here coming up in a bit. I do want to share this story with you guys. So Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, also Dan Graziano of ESPN, they wrote a column earlier today about some of the latest buzz, inquiries, trade rumors, etc. And there were two names that were thrown out for the Kansas City Chiefs as wide receiver potentials. One name is going to continue to come up. The name is Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper makes all the sense in the world for the Chiefs to go out and get. We're talking about a veteran wide receiver who is not making a lot of money this year. It is a clean break when you are talking about his contract. Do you guys want to know what Amari Cooper's base salary is for this season? It's $1.2 million. Now, there's some restructure money that's in there and, you know, some funny money and some math, but the cap hit for Amari Cooper is $8.7 million. Now, some of that cap hit has obviously already been paid out. He's already played games for the Cleveland Browns. So the Amari Cooper name is never going to leave the conversation because I don't think the Browns are making the postseason, and you have a player who is valuable that you could trade and get a second or a third round pick for. Amari Cooper is 30 years old. Now, I don't know if Amari Cooper maybe fixes some of your long-term questions that you have, but if you are looking for a fix in the middle of the season, Amari Cooper's name should absolutely be at the top of the list. Would you rather catch passes from Patrick Mahomes or continue to catch those ground balls being thrown at you from Deshaun Watson? So I think Amari Cooper would absolutely accept the trade. He played for the Cowboys. He played for the Raiders. Now you play in Cleveland. You want a chance to win. You want a chance to compete and have a chance to win a championship. So there's no question in my mind that Amari Cooper would be excited about a trade, and a trade for him would make a lot of sense. Now, there was another name that was thrown out there, and I wish I had seen this earlier because I would have asked Sean Marash about this. The other name that was thrown out was Darius Slayton. Now, maybe that is not a name that gets you all excited, but I would like to at least point this out about Kansas City, and this is not me being negative. We all follow the Chiefs. You know what I'm saying is true. How big of spenders do you think the Chiefs are willing to be a wide receiver? If you don't think that they're willing to trade a first or a second round pick and they want to kind of go bargain basement, bargain bin, buy low with decent return, you aren't getting a great name at the deadline. That's not the way that this works. So if you think the Chiefs don't want to spend big, you don't think they're going to be major players, you need to be shopping in the Darius Slayton aisle. Now, that is not the direction that I would go. I would go more toward the Amari Cooper. I like the Deontay Johnson name that has also been thrown out there for Kansas City. But Darius Slayton is a decent, to me, third or fourth option. I think with the injuries that they have, and we need to find out 100% what the status is going to be for Rashee Rice, and I think we'll find that out at some point over the course of the next couple of weeks, I think they need two wide receivers. So if you were telling me that one plan is to go get DeMarcus Robinson or Darius Slayton, someone in that vein, and then the next plan is to maybe swing a little bigger and go get an Amari Cooper, a guy who can win consistently on the outside and a guy that can be a de facto number one for this team, sign me up. I'm just looking right now at their wide receiver room. They don't have a lot. They might have just lost Mecole Hardman. We'll see what happens. He wasn't able to practice on a Friday. He was a guy that you were going to be counting on. Knows the system, veteran guys, played with this team, played with this organization. This was going to be Mecole Hardman time to be your number two, number three wide receiver. Now you don't have him. They just don't have a lot of bodies and proven production in that room. Darius Slayton is an okay choice. If you're asking me again, who would you pick? Amari Cooper would be my number one. Deontay Johnson would be my number two. I would swing a little bit bigger at wide receiver. Maybe the Chiefs think the same thing that I think. We're going for a three-peat. We understand that we got to push our chips a little bit more in the middle. Now, I wouldn't trade a number one for Amari Cooper. Not even sure if I would give you a number two for Amari Cooper. But you're telling me a third-round pick, so we're talking about a pick that's closer to 100 than it is to 75. Yeah, that seems about fair for me. That seems about right for a guy who has proven production in his past and also a guy that's not going to cost you a lot of money. Amari Cooper makes a lot of sense for Kansas City to be making phone calls.
Cooper's definitely the sexier name, and I know that he was traded to the Browns for, what, a fourth or a fifth? I can't remember the exact contract. But one thing about Cooper, and to an extent Johnson, that I think we need to be aware of as Chiefs fans is, as quiet as kept, the 2025 wide receiver room is barren. So if you are going to be trading a premium draft pick, I'm talking first, second, or third, I would like, and I imagine Brett Veach would like, to get a guy back with multiple years left on his deal, because as it sits right now, and I know there is a lot of time where things can change, but as it sits now, next year's wide receiver room is Rashee Rice, who we believe will either be suspended or coming off an injury.
Both.
Could be both. Yeah. The severity of the injury.
That doesn't seem like an either or to me. That seems like a capital B, capital O, capital A, capital F, both situation.
So that's what wide receiver one in your room next year. You're going to have Xavier Worthy in year two of his contract, and then Marquise Brown, do you bring him back after basically playing no games? I don't know.
You're going to be able to get him for the dirt, though.
He's a TBD. You can't consider him a lock to come back.
I actually don't have a problem with you bringing Hollywood back, because his injury is not a leg injury.
That's
it's
fair.
A shoulder injury. So he's a guy that's kind of known for his speed and his shiftiness. We don't think that the injury has any effect on that. I don't have any problem bringing Hollywood back on another one-year cheap, heavy incentive-laden. We're going to sign you for a one-year, $3 million deal that could be up to $8 million if you hit certain incentives.
So you and I agree, I would like to see him come back in some form or fashion. But right now, he's not under contract next year. And that's kind of it for your wide receiver room in 2025. And I know you can find wide receivers in the fourth, fifth, and sixth round. It happens all the time in the NFL. It has not historically happened to this franchise. The fourth, fifth, and sixth round picks they have used at wideout are more Cornell Powell types than they are, ooh, what a steal types. So if you are going to trade for a wide receiver, I would like a wide receiver who is carrying an option or a contract or some sort of protection to go into 2025, especially if you're going to give up a premium pick to do it. Because if you're telling me you're bringing Amari Cooper in for a second, you rehab his career, and he does great here, you know he's going to want in the offseason? Money. You know the Chiefs historically have never done a wide receiver? Giving wide receiver money. So now you're going into next year down a receiver and a pick. I would target guys who have multiple years.
This is where I think you and I just view team building differently. Like you're more worried about 2026 than I am, at least for this team, when you got a chance to go for history. I'm willing to gamble a little bit more coming off the back-to-back Super Bowls and knowing the importance of the season. You're not going to have Travis Kelce in 2027 to pair with that other piece. So if you got a chance to go for it now, and a texter brings up a good point, Amari Cooper was traded to Cleveland for a fifth round pick. So that's not a guy that is going to elevate in his value. This is the guy that, I mean,
to be fair, a lot of that was contract. He was carrying an albatross of a contract in Dallas.
100%.
That is part of it.
He is now a 30-year-old wide receiver. He's a 30-year-old wide receiver. If you're telling me Arizona couldn't trade DeAndre Hopkins, who we know had four or five teams that were super interested in him, Amari Cooper ain't worth a second round pick. That is not what it is. Hey, you don't get Amari Cooper. He's now played 2 years. Now you can turn your fifth into a second round pick. No, that's not how this works. Amari Cooper is worth a fifth or a fourth round pick. Would you trade a fourth or a fifth round pick for Amari Cooper? It is a no-brainer to me, given their wide receiver room. And it's not even that expensive. Some names are being thrown out on the text line, like DeAndre Hopkins. I just don't think DeAndre Hopkins makes a lot of sense, because DeAndre Hopkins costs, and this is not exaggerating, he costs six times more than Amari Cooper. DeAndre Hopkins' base salary is $8.2 million this year. DeAndre Hopkins' cap hit is $18.8 million. I just don't see the Chiefs trading for that player. Not the Chiefs that I know. Not a 32-year-old DeAndre Hopkins who has an $18 million cap hit. Now, it's not going to be that in Kansas City, but that cap hit for Amari Cooper is going to be next to nothing. Next to nothing after all of this is done. So, great reporting from Jeremy Fowler. He is turning into one of the better reporters in the game. Dan Graziano, two guys well-respected in the industry, throwing out some names that keep coming up. The Amari Cooper name is not going anywhere. He just makes too much sense for a contending team, for a wide receiver needy team. Cleveland is missing the playoffs. Amari Cooper is not going to re-sign next year in Cleveland. Trade him. Take your fourth-round pick. Take your fifth-round pick. Give that spot to some younger players to see what they have. It just makes a lot of sense for Amari Cooper. And the other name that was thrown out there is Darius Slayton. The Darius Slayton name wouldn't really excite me a whole lot. That's a guy who's a number three wide receiver. I feel like you already got enough of those guys on your roster, so that's not the direction that I would go. But if this team is going to make multiple moves and you're telling me there's an Amari Cooper and a Darius Slayton move that's out there, all right, you can kind of convince me a little bit if that's going to be the case. I do not want Darius Slayton to be the only move that they make at the position. All right, coming up on the other side, we are going to give you our parlay for the weekend. One college parlay, one NFL parlay. Also, we'll talk about Tyrann Mathieu, who is coming back to Kansas City for his first trip back. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I'm not saying this to judge anybody. I'm really not. Because we all are entitled to throw out different names that you want the Chiefs to go out and get. I might want them to go get Amari Cooper. You might want them to go get Deontay Johnson. That's the beauty of sports talk, that you are allowed to give your take. There is one player, I assure you, you guys love more than the rest of the NFL, and that player is Hunter Renfrow. The two players that have been mentioned the most this season to be added to a Kansas City team have been Trevor Bauer, who no one picked up, and also Hunter Renfrow, who is still unemployed. Still, right now, currently, actively. They're selling pumpkin spice lattes right now at Starbucks. Still, doesn't have a job. Hasn't been brought into a workout for any team in the National Football League. So again, you are allowed to throw out whatever name you want to throw out. I'm telling you that the league has told you we don't think Hunter Renfrow can play, or Hunter Renfrow is hurt and we're not taking a chance on Hunter Renfrow. Now, maybe he signs somewhere. Maybe he does like a Cole Beasley, you know, late signing to try to help a team. Bro, we passed the first month of the season. That man's still not on the team. That ain't good. There's been a lot of injuries. The Chiefs are not the only team with wide receiver injuries. San Francisco had one of the wide receivers get shot, didn't bring him in. Kansas City has four wide receivers right now. Still haven't brought Hunter Renfrow in. I'm just here to present facts, man. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm wrong in doing that. But Hunter Renfrow right now is a name is the most popular one thrown out there. No one seems to like him for whatever reason. Hunter Renfrow had one decent season with the Raiders. We've never heard from him since, and I don't know what he's doing right now. Maybe he's selling insurance. Maybe he's trying to help Clemson with their NIL collective. I don't know what's going on, but we haven't seen or heard from Hunter Renfrow in quite some time. Coming up in a bit, we'll talk about Tyrann Mathieu, who is returning. There's also a couple other Saints that are returning as well that used to play on the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is going to be on the show coming up in 30 minutes. So if you want to hear from the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, keep it locked in right here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, Rob, let's try to help the people win some money. Hit me with some music. I can admit that this pick comes from my heart, but it's still a great play. I've given you guys a winning college prop every week this season. It has gone unnoticed, but you know what? That's okay. I'm going to give you another winning prop. Luther Burden anytime touchdown against Texas A&M. I told you guys my rule. I do not take minus money anytime touchdowns. I only take plus money touchdowns. It's the best value that you're going to get. You're going to give me Missouri's best offensive player at plus money. A little end around, a screenplay, something. I think Missouri's going to score. One of those touchdowns is going to come from Luther Burden. Go ahead and give me Luther Burden anytime touchdown. Last time I checked, it was plus 105, maybe plus 110. Obviously, take it at plus 110 if you can get it. That's what I like.
I'm going to go a little off the beaten path for my leg of the college football parlay. Right now, Army is playing Tulsa this weekend, and the under is at 50.5 total points. That's what I would hit. Tulsa stinks. And Army, for those who don't know, they run the triple option. Carrington, you know it very well. We were playing College Football 25 the other day. Triple option you to death. But you know what doesn't happen when you triple option? Lots and lots of points. The clock keeps tick, tick, ticking. So given the under on 50.5 total points in the Army and Tulsa game, you play that with your Burden anytime touchdown over on our friends at FanDuel. Plus 298, Carrington.
Why'd you have to tell people about that?
I just thought it was relevant to the conversation.
It just didn't make any sense. You and I had a little bit of free time. The PlayStation was here. I'm like, hey, let's play college football. You said, let's pick group of five teams. Sure, let's do it. This man got Army. This man was running the option like he was Tommy Frazier and Lawrence Phillips in Nebraska, and it was 1994. It was disgusting work. I'm blitzing. I'm doing everything. Couldn't stop it. Couldn't tackle. It was a sad display.
My favorite part is Kramer, our social media guy, was sitting there being like, why aren't you blitzing, man? You got to blitz.
Oh, I tried. It didn't work. It didn't work at all. All right, you know what? That's our college parlay. You've been costing us on our college parlays these last couple of weeks, man. Hopefully you do your part, because I'm certainly going to do mine. All right, let's give you an NFL parlay. There's a couple of different ones that I like. I really like the Broncos -2.5. The Raiders have been so distracted this week. I really like the Raiders. I also like the Commanders. Everybody is on the Commanders, but you know what? I'm going to give you a player prop this time as opposed to a game. I'm going to take the over for DeAndre Swift rushing yards. I really think that the Bears started to unlock some things and figure some things out last week when it pertains to running the football. Last week, DeAndre Swift had 16 carries for 93 yards and a touchdown. And shockingly, they scored the most points that they have this season and they won. Maybe they should keep doing that and run the football. You can certainly run the football against Carolina. I'm going to take the over on DeAndre Swift. I believe it is at 57.5. Is that right, Rob?
That is correct.
Okay, cool. I wanted to make sure. I'm going to take the over on DeAndre Swift. 57.5 cleared it easy last week.
Can you, before I give you my leg, I feel like the entire football world is making fun of DeAndre Swift. Why are you on DeAndre Swift this week? Are you trying to cost the people money? I'm going to pick an easy one. I'm going to pick a layup. Kareem Hunt, anytime touchdown. It's written in the script right there.
It is.
Kareem Hunt returns to the Chiefs. He has a good game in L.A. He comes oh so close. He's the goal line specialist. It's a magic Monday in Kansas City. The Royals are playing. Kareem Hunt, anytime touchdown. You play that combined with DeAndre Swift. Over, and it's plus 227, Carrington.
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking DeAndre Swift because just last week we saw the Cincinnati Bengals, who have a very mediocre run game. Both of their running backs would have hit the over on this number. Chase Brown had 80 yards rushing last week. Zach Moss would have also hit the over as well. So I like the Bears showing more of a commitment to running the football. I also think DeAndre Swift, think he's going to get hot here. It's not like I need him to run for 85 yards. I need him to have a normal day on the ground. Give me 16 carries for 65 yards. You know what we call that? We call that a winner, baby. Go ahead and walk that ticket up to the front. Go ahead and collect your winnings. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will get back to talking about the Kansas City Royals as they find themselves in the postseason. What do you think the reaction is going to be to Tyrann Mathieu on Monday night? Now, I understand there are other Chiefs that are coming back. Willie Gay, he's hurt, so he's not going to be able to get a reception. Colin Saunders, who was a role player during there. Everybody loves Colin Saunders. But, I mean, the real story to me is the return of Tyrann Mathieu, a guy who I think has a ring of Honor argument. I'm not sure if he's going to get in. He didn't play a lot, a long time with the Kansas City Chiefs, only played 3 years. You were an All-Pro in two of those years and helped this defense get over the hump and win a Super Bowl. It seems like you have a strong argument of being a Ring of Honor guy, but they're just going to have so many on this team over the course of this dynasty. Not really sure. Seems to me like he's more of a guy that comes back whenever his career is over, bangs the drum, gets a lot of respect, gets a lot of love from Chiefs fans. I know it left in a bad place because of social media, because of some of the other stuff. Where do you think the relationship is right now between Chiefs fans and Tyrann Mathieu as he comes back for Monday Night Football?
I think it's all love. I think mostly of that social media and that anger and frustration that we saw was an Instagram post or a Twitter post, I forget, about calling the fans toxic. I think most fans have forgotten that, and because they've forgotten, they forgave. They are going to remember the fact that he was the catalyst for making the defense go from absolute trash to Super Bowl champion, and he was on what I think was the best team in this Chiefs run, that 2020 team. If the offensive line is at all healthy, I think the Chiefs are cashing their Super Bowl. Like, Tyrann Mathieu was the catalyst for a defense to turn around. He was the emotional leader. He loved Kansas City. He was everything Kansas City was. I think he's going to get a warm reception on Monday. And if people are booing him because of an Instagram post 3 years ago, that's lame to me. I don't know if he's Ring of Honor good, but I think he gets a warm reception Monday.
Coming up at the top of the hour, let's get back to the Kansas City Royals as they prepare for game one of the ALDS against the Yankees. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.